This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 14th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear from Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News and a look at your wintry AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Champaign County highways remain closed today in light of the weather, but the county's Office of Emergency Management says crews are out this morning with hopes of clearing at least one lane of those roads by tomorrow morning. EMA Director Bill Keller says they also hope to make some progress today on rural roads.
One of the things that's hampering them is they're, you know, finding cars stalled in the driving lanes, and they have to stop and wait for a wrecker to get that towed out before they can proceed. And so when we've been telling people, you know, don't go out and get stuck, it's going to hamper our operation. It is hampering the operation right now.
Keller says all county roads are still impassable or extremely dangerous, while state routes are impassable due to drifts or abandoned vehicles. From late afternoon yesterday through 4 this morning, the EMA assisted 55 stranded motorists. State police at Pasodum also helped more than 20 people yesterday whose vehicles were stuck. One of the fiercest February snowstorms in recent memory is continuing to blanket parts of the state, and Illinoisans are hunkering down for another day of treacherous roads and snow days for students. Central Illinois was by far the hardest hit, logging up to nearly 16 inches of snow in parts of Springfield and at least 12 in Champaign. The National Weather Service says a typical February brings between 5 to 7 inches of snow to Central Illinois. By early today, the Weather Service said about 9 inches of snow had accumulated in Chicago. And meteorologist Tim Hallback says lake effect snow is expected to add another 3 to 5 inches this morning. He says that would make it the biggest February snowfall in Chicago since February of 2000, when 11.1 inches of snow was recorded. Flight cancellations are continuing today for travelers trying to get in and out of Chicago. The city's Department of Aviation says about 400 flights have been canceled at O'Hare International Airport because of severe weather conditions in the Northeast. An Aviation Department spokeswoman, Wendy Abrams, says about 15 flights have been canceled at Midway Airport. That's an improvement over yesterday when more than 900 flights were canceled at O'Hare and at least 425 were canceled at Midway. Bloomington's Central Illinois Regional Airport has also canceled all inbound flights because of whiteout conditions. Locally, cancellations include a second day of classes at the University of Illinois, the university shutting down for the first time since 1979, and Eastern Illinois University is closed today as well. Blowing snow brought most traffic off the interstate highways, if only for a few hours. While some truck drivers persevered yesterday and a few became involved in jackknifes or other accidents, many others flocked to rest areas and truck stops to ride the storm out. AM 580's Tom Rogers has more.
Outside the Road Ranger truck stop off I-57, the wind whipped snow into drifts that threatened to choke off Market Street leading into Champaign. Semis pulled into the parking lot, very few left. Inside, truckers peered out the window and watched the howling wind try to pry open the front door of the mini mart.
See, that door went open before, right? That wind opened that door, right? It went open before.
Norm Bryant started the morning in Effingham with his trailer full of a military family's belongings. He got as far north as Champaign and decided to sit it out.
The farther north I came, the worse it got. The driving lane got a little bit more narrow and narrow as you came north. And I was just afraid it's going to be worse. And when they're talking with the wind, the blizzard conditions, I've lived through that before, so I don't want to be out there and hurt myself or somebody else.
Bryant and others were planning to spend a good deal of their time inside their cabs, reading or waiting for instructions from their companies. And another driving couple who would only identify themselves as Mariana and her husband Sean said as long as they weren't driving until the next day, they ought to make some use of the piling snow.
We make margaritas with the snow.
She's just kidding.
That's what I will do. It's a lot of snow in my windshield. Are you looking for tequila anyway?
I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Indiana conservation officers have traced the source of an oily sheen that coated miles of the Wabash River in western Indiana to turbine oil at a Duke Energy power plant. Indiana conservation officer Max Winchell says the oil is used in the coolant system at Duke's Wabash River Generating Station in West Terre Haute. The unit was temporarily shut down Monday night as a precaution. Duke Energy has accepted responsibility for the spill. A company spokeswoman says the oil is similar to a light machine oil and isn't toxic. After the sheen was discovered on Monday, crews placed absorbent floating booms on the river to absorb the substance. But Winchell says the oil is so light, the booms haven't been able to capture much of it with their absorbent pads. Governor Rod Blagojevich is telling an advisory group looking at global warming to find ways to reduce greenhouse gases. The governor says the state's goal should be to cut production of heat-trapping gases to 1990 levels by 2020. California passed a law with such a provision, and some federal lawmakers, including Barack Obama and John McCain, are backing it in Congress. It's the latest environmental problem Illinois is trying to tackle. Last year, the state became the latest to buck federal limits on mercury emissions that many consider too lax. It approved a rule requiring coal-fired power plants to cut mercury emissions 90% by 2009. Up for consideration by the advisory group, a range of possible strategies from making homes and cars more efficient to looking at how electricity is generated. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Commentator Amy Guida is paying close attention to a series of ads as President's Day approaches. It's because Abraham Lincoln played an odd role in her life. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I've not told many people about a fever dream I had when I was a young girl. It's a dream I'm reminded of every President's Day. It was Christmas. Snow was falling, and inside our warm house helping to decorate our Christmas tree was none other than Abraham Lincoln, as in our 16th president. Did I mention that he was decorating the tree with fried clam strips? Yep, that was my dream. A Christmas tree, fried clam strips, and Abe Lincoln. Now, I've always believed that I'm just about the only human being alive who's ever had a dream about Abe Lincoln, a dream that seemed so real that his visage sends a bit of a chill up my spine to this very day. And quite honestly, I have some psychological difficulty visiting a certain museum in Springfield. So imagine my surprise when television commercials began to appear featuring good old Abe telling restless sleepers that they can have their dreams back, including apparently those dreams we may have about Abraham Lincoln himself. Can the sleeping aid company believe that I'm one of many dreamers who seriously relates to this ad? I'd say it's more likely that those who created the ad wanted to use some interesting, unusual person who would generate attention and buzz. And by writing this, I've certainly taken the bait. Companies usually want someone memorable, and they usually want someone cheap. In law, that means that they might be interested in somebody dead, and somebody who's been dead for a long time. That's not a flippant, disrespectful comment. Here's what the Restatement of Torts has to say about the use of political figures in ads. If X is president of the United States and B forms and operates a corporation under the name of X Insurance Company, then B will be liable to X. But note that the language is in the present tense, as in a current president. It would normally be the misappropriation of the president's identity, the same sort of legal concept that prevents a company from using a movie star as an endorser without the movie star's permission. When one dies, it's a whole different story. The right to any misappropriation action generally dies with us, unless we've struggled to protect it through our life, as movie stars often do, which is why you don't see dead movie stars in ads all that often. But you do see Abe sometimes. As one commentator wrote in the trademarks area, explaining that such use is allowed under certain circumstances, no reasonable buyer would believe that Abraham Lincoln was selling Lincoln Insurance. It's funny that an old editorial quoted in a recent Law Review article worried about such things, warning that the sad, sublime face of Abraham Lincoln would someday be posted up everywhere to advertise Bloaters Bitters or Smart Cuss's Corn Cure. Compare that with the rhetorical question posed by a judge in a case from 1979. May the descendants of Abraham Lincoln obtain damages for the commercial exploitation of his name and likeness by the Lincoln Division of the Ford Motor Company? There are many restrictions on names and faces and identities in ads today, but it seems old Abe's missed out. The Chicago Tribune pointed out that Abe's known for his honesty and his possible insomnia, which may explain why he's featured in the sleep medicine ad. Though if any new ads incorporate fried clam strips, you'll know that there's something really freaky going on. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Conditions will improve a bit today in our forecast. We have intervals of clouds and sunshine, windy, cold, a chance of a few passing snow showers. Significant blowing and drifting snow will continue, the high 15 degrees. Winds will come from the north at 12 to 24 miles per hour. Partly cloudy, very cold tonight, the low 5 below zero. The wind from the north to the northwest will be at 8 to 16 miles an hour. And partly to mostly sunny, breezy and cold tomorrow, the high around 10 degrees. But no snow, however. We will have winds from the northwest to west at 10 to 20 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, February 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.